kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I've got a title here for us to consider today, and our title is New Areas to be Written on Our Hearts. New Areas to be Written on Our Hearts. And I'm basing this from Ezekiel. We all know this very well in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 to 21. 19 to 21 of Ezekiel 11. And here Ezekiel is prophesying, teaching in the last days when God restores Israel. And we know that with the restoration of Israel, it is also the restoration of the body of Christ, the remnant that God is calling out. For what God works and does with Israel, he is doing also with his church, because the two are walking in unity and witness for what is to be done in the last days. Even though Israel is still blinded to her Messiah, nevertheless, we see a restoration taking place, and we know, of course, many of God's people have returned. The desert is blossoming, and they are being prepared, ready to meet their Messiah. But of course, we know before that happens, there will come a false Messiah first. So we see these two parallels that work together. This is why we cannot leave Israel out, and we cannot leave the church out. The two walk together. And here we see what it says here in verse 19, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So we see here a working by the Spirit of restoring and giving God's people a new heart. He's going to take that stony heart out and put a heart of flesh. But he equally says that in the last days there will be an increase in abominations, which there is, detestable things. We know this, we see it, we hear it. And he says, I will recompense their deeds, in other words, their actions, on their own heads, says the Lord. So we get an understanding from Ezekiel that as God restores Israel, restoring the church, we also are aware of the abominations taking place. And of course, there will be the ultimate, the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist will go into the third temple that the Jews will build, pronouncing himself as God, Messiah, and so on. The great deception. So it's all leading towards that, the mystery of iniquity being revealed. So We're calling this new areas to be written on our hearts. Let's turn also to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. And here we see what Jesus pronounces over Peter. Let's take it up from John chapter 1 and verse 42. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. Now, it's interesting here that Andrew is a man who brings people to Jesus. That seemed to be his ministry. And there he says that he found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. And this is where I'm basing the teaching today and this title, A New Area to be Written on Our Hearts. Andrew is a man bringing people, his own brother, to Jesus because he's had a revelation of who he is, and he brings them, he introduces them to Jesus, in which we should do as well. And we should believe that God does that in our life and ministry, introducing, bringing them to the Saviour, Jesus Christ, the one who is the hope for humanity. But he brings him, doesn't he? And look what happens. A new name is pronounced upon Peter. In other words, areas where we haven't surrendered yet ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Areas where we still need to surrender pride. Areas of pride. Areas of self-sufficiency, and so on. The scripture was 1 John chapter 42 onwards. 1 John verse 42. And this is what we're looking at. And so we need to surrender these areas. The deeper life teaching is about surrender. And sometimes we don't know what always to surrender until we go through a trial or until some areas are exposed. And then when we see these areas that are exposed, we then can see what God wants us to surrender, to give up. Why am I stressing that? Because there are areas in your heart need writing upon. The same as Peter comes to God and his name is altered, is changed to stone. Now, what does it signify? Well, the stone obviously signifying the rock, a security, what we stand upon. And so he gave him a revelation of what he was going to do in his life. The same as when we get saved and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to give a revelation of what he's going to do, how he's going to change, how he's going to write those new names within our hearts. Now, of course, we know what the heart is. It is you, the person. It is, if you like, the mystery of man. It's that deep area that we don't really know about. But we know that we have that heart. We know that we have been touched by God. We are at that new creation. And he's doing that work within us, changing us, that is a mystery. Sometimes we can't put words to it. It is so deep. But we know that we are being changed. And that, of course, are clear, good signs that you are Christian because you are being changed. And it's also a clear good sign because the enemy tries to hinder and stop that change, doesn't he? So, of course, it gives itself away. But what is God honing in now? At this time, he's dealing with those areas where we still do not surrender up yet to God. That self-sufficiency, that independence. And we only know we have that when we are confronted with trials or situations. Do we then begin to see what it is as God opens our eyes? You see, some have new names that are written in only certain areas of their lives, in the heart. And it's like, well, that's enough. That's sufficient. I've changed. I no longer do a lot of the things that I do. But don't go overboard. Don't become too extreme. That's what they used to say a lot to me in the denomination when I was there. Don't go overboard. Don't get deceived. You're a Christian. You go to this church. You're a member of it. Just relax and enjoy God and fellowship and so on. That's what used to be said to me. And yet this hunger was continuing to be inside me. That there has to be more. There has to be more experience with Almighty God than just being entertained, coming week after week, listening to sermonettes. Because God had put that hunger within me. But in order for me to have that hunger fulfilled, areas of my heart still had to be changed. And that is the point. And that is what the deeper life is about. New areas of our heart need to be written upon with the blood of the Lamb, whose name is Jesus. And as I've said, some have these new areas, but they only go so far. Now, it's interesting that the Lord gave me a vision with regard to this teaching. I don't often get this, but as preparing this and everything, I suddenly saw in the house of God, in a building, I saw people moving around. And these people that were moving around were disabled. Some were walking with Zimmer frames. Some were walking with crutches. Some were in wheelchairs, being pushed and so forth. And I looked at this. And God said to me in my heart, these are professing believers who don't want to go on deeper with me. They don't want to have their hearts changed. They don't want a new name written, inscribed in their hearts. They're quite content with where they go. They're quite content with their sermonettes. They're quite content being entertained. And there is the deception. And God was not going to have that with Cephas. He said, no, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name to stone. You will stand upon that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ, where it cannot be moved or whatever. But to stand upon that rock means we have to be changed. We have to allow God to work upon these hearts, circumcising these hearts, dealing with that pride that resists God when he tries to hone in those areas where we rise up and we make excuses. We make excuses over the word of God. Do you know how we make excuses? We use selective hearing, where we only want to hear those things that we want to hear. And then we turn off, we have a way of turning off where it's dealing with me or dealing with areas of unbelief and hardness and so on. We do it. We do it sometimes automatically. We're sometimes not aware we're doing it. You could be doing it today, right now. Unless the mercy of God opens our ears and eyes and hearts to this. And the only way is when he inscribes and changes those areas of our heart and he writes a new name upon that heart. God is working this so that we have security, that we know whom we stand upon and we stand with, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. We all look okay on the outside until the trials come, and the trials reveal who we stand upon, whom we are secure with. But those trials also reveal that God is going to inscribe a new name upon your heart. That is what they're for. And that is why we count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations, because it is exposing those areas in my life that have to be changed. Because we need to be in faith in these closing days. We have to really trust now in God and not the arm of the flesh, because the arm of the flesh is failing, and the arm of the flesh will fail many in churches who are still relying on that arm. It's already starting to happen, but they don't want to know. You see, God is going to get us ready for his appearing. He's getting us ready for when we meet him in the clouds. This is what he's doing with us. It's what he's doing with us right now, so that we can be made ready. That he doesn't come like a thief in the night, sadly, for many. They will miss. They won't recognize. They will think he's a thief that's coming to break in and steal. No, he's come to take us home. That's what it really means. And those who are paying the price, getting into the word, letting the word change our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. In other words, purifying the sons of Levi. They're the ones, the wise virgins, who will be ready for when he appears, and they won't be shocked or caught unawares. They will have their house ready for his appearance. And that's why God has to deal with those areas of unbelief, those areas of sin still in our life, those areas of pride where we still resist, where we still want to be in control. You know, a couple of years ago, we heard something that shocked us, didn't we? We heard through this technology and AI that they will have cars that will drive themselves. They've already got lorries now that are driving themselves. And what was our reaction when we heard that? No way! No way will I have a car that will drive itself. I want to be in control of that car. That's what we said. That was what our reaction was. But we failed to see that that was pointing to something. It was pointing to God, who wants to take over our lives. You see our reaction? And we do that exactly the same in the Spirit. We do it exactly the same with God. The thought of God taking over terrifies us. But that is exactly what he has come for. That is exactly what the Comforter has come back for, to take over. And in order to do that, he has to remove those hindrances. And that is why I opened up with Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel says that in the last days God would change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. I will put a new spirit within you. I will put a new heart within you for the purpose to restore us, to bring us back, to trust in God, to walk by faith, to not trust in the arm of the flesh, to be led by the Spirit, but also to make us ready for his coming. Let's read it in John 14, verse 23. John 14 and verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's what it means. We will come for you. We will come and tabernacle with you. We will come and take your life over if that's what you want, if you are willing. And it's called surrender. Because they don't get it wrong. And it takes a long time for us to get this from our heads to our hearts. And that is why we can rest in the security of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who comes to baptize and empower us, the one who will lead us into all truth. That truth isn't always easy to take on board. That truth sometimes we don't like. It's an assault to our intellect or to the things that we thought was God, but we find out isn't God. This is how he works. There is a price to pay for truth, because the truth sets you free. And the powers of darkness don't want God's people set free with that truth. So they try to hinder these demonic forces. They try to hinder us from knowing the truth. They try to hinder us and hold us in the intellect until God has to work that deliverance in the mind. This is what the Apostle Paul came to the Corinthians in chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Corinthians. He said, you're held in the mind, in the intellect, in the pride. You can't understand the cross, the simple message. Your mind is utterly cluttered. And it's what he's doing with us. He's uncluttering all that stuff that's been put there, so that it can be cast down. These imaginations, cast down. These lies, cast down. That's what it means when we put on the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit is renewing. In other words, he casts it down if we let him. So that our minds are renewed. By what? The Word of God. By the Spirit of God. By the truth of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have this warfare that's going on in us at times. We can feel insecure at times. We don't know what is right and what isn't right. It's not a problem to the overcomer. It's not a problem if the enemy is trying to deceive for a season, because God will reveal the truth. I have 101% security in the Holy Spirit's ministry that he's given to the church and each of us, because we are a light that is set upon a hill. We are that candlestick that bears the light. That light is a warning to the world, to our families, our loved ones. In our prayers, our intercessions, we pray that that warning will go out, that they will see, that their eyes will be opened. This is why we're up, not up against flesh and blood, but against those powers, principalities, who are trying to keep the world in darkness and in lies and confusion, which is all getting worse and worse. It's in our governments, it's in our families, it's everywhere. It's rife. And God is setting us free from that. And when you are free from that, you are then effective in prayer, intercession, and warfare. Because the Son has set you free. You can only be effective, you can only pray the prayers of faith when you see. You cannot pray effectively if you are confused and wavering. Up and down. You can't pray effectively. You can't pray in faith. And that's why the devil wants to hold us in our minds like that. But we have the word of God, because it says, if you know the word, then the word shall set you free. We stand upon the word of God. It is our security. It is the word that opens my eyes. It sets me free. It deals with all those hindrances in my life, those areas of pride, those areas where I'm not surrendering as I should. It's that knife, it's that sword that comes down and cuts that asunder. I'm into that, because that's what I want. That's what we want. And yes, it's going to be painful sometimes. Yes, it does mean relearning. But that's what the Blessed Comforter has come to do. And he will do it. Why? Because he's getting us ready, purifying us for the coming of the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, and he's made no mistake in this. And that's why we should put no conditions on our life whatsoever. That's why you do not make vows. You don't commit yourself to those worldly things. Because the word of God is the one that we stand upon. We don't need to. We don't need to if we have to be taken into a court and put our hands on the Bible and swear on the oath. We don't have to do that as believers, because Christians don't lie or shouldn't lie. That sadly is for those who lie. And most of the world lie. You see, and there's the difference. We put no conditions at all on our life. We're disciples. We put our hands to the plow. We're moving forward. Removed all conditions. Completely open, free, for the Holy Spirit now to mould us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's come to eventually take you and I home with him. That's what it means. Look at it. Let's read in John 14, verses 1 to 3. John 14, verses 1 to 3. This is where Jesus speaks about he's the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so it goes on. What a wonderful word. What wonderful comfort that is, isn't it? It actually means that he's come. It's our dwelling. It's going to be our abiding place or abiding places. We're going to abide and dwell with him. Wherever he is, we will follow the Lamb. And this includes our new bodies, our glorified bodies. And he says, "I go and prepare a place for you." What does he mean by this? Well, this is what love does. Love prepares a place. It's like if you're going to have family or guests come. What do? You start to prepare. You start to get the beds ready, new sheets in or whatever. You get in extra food. You are preparing for their stay. Or it's like if you're going to have a child, you're expecting a baby. Often you will prepare a nursery. You'll decorate a room. You'll get that room ready for the new arrival. Because you're confident of that arrival. You are confident that your guests or family or whatever it is are going to come. In other words, your faith is acting in advance. And what is our Lord doing? He's acting his faith in advance for you and I. Because he's preparing, ready for us to come. He's confident of our arrival. And he wants you to have that confidence that you are going to go home and to be with him. And he's gone ahead to prepare the place ready. It's like when the Queen goes on a tour or a stately tour. She has a lot of her entourage workers who go before to prepare for the journey, to prepare where she's going to stay, what she's going to eat, and so on. She's got those that go ahead. Well, how much more with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's what he's done for us. How could we doubt? And we know that he's coming soon for us. But in the meantime, there's new areas to be written on our hearts, because these hearts have to be changed, because sin lies in the heart. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles, it's what comes out. And the Pharisees were offended by that. Are we offended by that? Well, if we still see wrong things coming out of our heart, wrong confessions, then we are aware of it, we repent, and we ask God to change. And he will, and he'll write a new name in the area of your heart. If he did it for Cephas, how much more would he do it for us, and is indeed doing it for us? Because he's the only one who can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. But we have to be honest. We have to recognize when there are things that are not going right as they should be. Or I am confessing contrary to the word of God. Are you confessing still that sickness over your life? Are you confessing still that poverty over your life? What an affront it is to our Lord and Saviour. What it cost him, his life, the surrendering up of his life, that we now can have these promises and confess and agree with these promises and stand upon these promises. And every time we deny them, every time we reject them or we confess contrary to them, it's an absolute affront. It's a disgrace. We should bow our heads in shame, but we're still not yet fully convicted in the heart, because the heart has to be written upon. Well, praise God, I'm hearing it, even though it's coming out of my mouth, and I know what I want. Do it, Lord. Whatever it takes, do it for your glory. Because this is the only way we glorify God. We acknowledge what he did for us at Calvary, by allowing him to change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And brothers and sisters, he's doing it. And why is he doing it as I close now? Because he's coming back for us. We are seeing the signs and the times. We're hearing it now. We hear it when we come together. It comes constantly up in our teaching. Get ready. Get prepared now. I'm coming. And the first great event for the overcomers, for the church, is his coming, and his appearance will be first in the clouds. Let's be ready. Let's be caught off our guard. Let God write that new name in your heart. Father in heaven, we thank you again for helping us, teaching us, speaking to us, delivering us. Lord, our confession today is, whatever it takes, do it, Father. Our lives are totally, completely yours. And Father, we thank you that you have come, you've come back through the Holy Spirit to do this work, to change us, Father, to bring us so that we can have those new names, names of stone, meaning that we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, cannot be moved, cemented, secure in him. Father, I thank you that you are doing that work as we get delivered, because that is our confidence. That is our experience of security in Christ. And Peter had need of that change in his heart. And so we too have that need and change in our hearts, so that when things happen, or when trials come, we won't run away, but we will simply stand and endure, and we will see the hand of God, the hand of salvation, working on our behalf. Lord, we know that. We thank you for that. We've all of us been through trials, and we all of us have a testimony of how you have been faithful, how you have brought us through. Forgive us, Father, when we still at times doubt you. But Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for this meeting today. Thank you for bringing us together. And I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters till we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus'
name. So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.